went last week and we talked about seeking your diamond. Those of you who do not know what I mean by that expression, you need to go on their website, get the message from last week. You need to listen to it. You need to learn from it and recognize your diamond. And that's probably all I'll say about that. But seek after your diamond, because God's got a diamond for you. I want to speak a little bit concerning reaching those who do not know Christ. But as I was studying this week, as I was preparing this week, I felt to go in a little bit different direction at first and talk about the supply that God has given us to meet the calling to which he has called us to. So we want to go back a little bit and try to lay down the foundation. I'm going to go through this pretty quickly because we're going to do communion this morning too. So we're going to kind of barrel through this. So let's get started. Chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So wisdom is the number one thing that we should run after. Wisdom is better than any other commodity that we could get in life. Proverbs 16:16 says, get wisdom. Reading from the Message Bible. Get wisdom. It's worth more than money. I wonder how many of us, if there was a big library of wisdom that we could totally get, and then there was a big pile of money here, I wonder how many of us would lean toward the money instead of the wisdom. But yet the Word of God says, get wisdom above everything else. That wisdom is worth more than money. Wisdom can get you what money cannot get you. And if you'll endeavor to seek after wisdom, money, the things that you need, will follow. Wisdom is the principal thing. You can have all the riches in the world, but you don't have wisdom, you can be in poverty. You can lose it pretty quick if you don't have wisdom. Wisdom helps us to be able to work around the deceitfulness of riches. Remember what Jesus said about riches? Beware of the deceitfulness of riches. Why would he say beware about the deceitfulness of riches? Well, because there's this deceit about it. In other words, deceitfulness of riches can get you into a place where you're missing God. And that's what the God of Mammon or the God of money will try to do. Wisdom will help us to be able to handle money. And the reason why we need wisdom to handle money is because of the deceitfulness that's around it. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, I want us to keep this in context, the idea of wisdom and the idea of blessing, because I want to read about blessing today. I believe God wants you blessed. I believe God wants his people blessed. I believe God wants to pour out his favor upon us. I believe the favor of God is the lot that God has for us. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28:1, we often read this scripture, but I want us to look into it just a little bit closer this morning. Deuteronomy 28:1, if you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God and heartily obey all his commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on high above all the nations of the earth. Now, he's talking to the nation of Israel under the old covenant. Important to remember that. He's talking to the nation of Israel. And he says in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you. Or the Message Bible says, all these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of the Lord your God. Another translation says, all these blessings shall overtake you or run you down if you respond to the voice of God. Again, from the Message Bible. That word respond there, we have to not only hear the voice of God, we not only need to set ourselves in a place where we will hear the voice, pay attention to his voice, but we'll respond to his voice. You remember last week I asked you if there was three frogs sitting up here and one said, I'm going to jump off. And I said, how many would be left? Of course, everybody said two, but that's not the correct answer. If he only said it, there'd be still three people sitting on, or three frogs sitting on the ledge. Nothing changes until you respond. Nothing changes until you put action to your words. And the same thing here with the blessing that came upon the nation of Israel. Nothing changes until the people respond to the voice of the Lord. If you believe and obey, you don't have to run after the blessings. The blessings will follow after you. If you believe in the word of the Lord, you will run after his kingdom first and his righteousness. Because that's what Jesus said. If we run after his kingdom first and his righteousness, all the things that we need shall come to us. All the things that we need will come into our hands. Now, this nation of Israel, God pronounced a blessing upon them. And their national obedience was a reward for their obedience. Or pardon me, their reward for their national obedience was extraordinary prosperity. Now think about this. If God speaks to a nation and said, if you'll obey me, if you'll obey the things that I set forth, there'll be extraordinary prosperity upon you. Do you think that would happen if God spoke to you, or if you obeyed the word of the Lord, even if the rest of the nation didn't? If you obey the word of the Lord, I believe you open the door for extraordinary favor and blessing on your life individually. You open the door for it if you'll hear the voice of the Lord and obey it. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let him have dominion. Say, I'm to have dominion. You're supposed to be a ruler. You're supposed to have dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So that covers a lot of ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. This is the first place in Scripture where blessing is pronounced on man. God blessed them. Now look how he blessed them. He pronounced blessing on them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God blessed man by giving him dominion over the things of the earth. I want you to notice something. God did not give dominion to man to dominate another man, another human being. God did not give dominion to Adam, to and Eve, to dominate over every human being that came after them. Not to have dominion. And yet we see in the world today that man is constantly trying to dominate other men. Look in the places, in the war, in the countries where war seems to continually be going on. It's all about dominating somebody else. It's all about getting the better of somebody else. God never, ever gave us that dominion over another individual, over another human being. Now, it is so important to recognize that, but there's something else that God didn't speak about giving dominion to Adam and Eve way back there in the book of Genesis. It says that he gave man dominion over everything that creeps or moves upon the earth. Notice it doesn't mention anything about spirits. It doesn't mention anything about demonic spirits. And it's not until the New Testament, when Jesus came, that he began to speak about man having dominion over demonic spirits. When we come into covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, then we see now a different covenant in operation, where man began to deal with demonic spirits. And of course, we read that in the book of Acts, in Acts 16, where Silas and Paul were doing some ministry, and this demon-possessed girl was running after them and saying some things about them. And Paul knew it was the things that they were saying were demonic expressions. So he turned around to her eventually and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, he spoke to the spirit, come out of her. And the Bible says that that spirit came out. So we see from Jesus coming upon the earth and dying for us and his blood being shed, that man gave dominion then over demonic spirits as well. So even though with all the blessing of the old covenant, and we still have that today, but the blessing of the old covenant, but there's some things added to it in the new covenant. There's some things like a dominion over demonic spirits. And it's important for us to recognize that, because folks, whether we realize it or not, we're dealing with demon spirits every day. You know that? Do you realize that there's demon spirits that are trying to influence you? Everything from watching what comes over the television, what is spewed even in our educational system, there's all kinds of demonic influence that's trying to influence the people of God and other people in the world so that they will never reach their destiny. But God has given us dominion over them. Look at Luke 10, verse 17. Jesus had sent out 70 people to go out and to cast out devils. And in verse 17, it says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" Now listen to this. If you and I, as believers in Christ, talking to the believers right now, if you and I, as believers in Christ, have dominion over demonic forces, when we stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're never going to be able to say, "The devil made me do it," or "The demons made me do it." We'll never be able to say that, because he has given us authority over them. You and I are going to have to take responsibility for the things that we have done or didn't do. You and I, even as born again believers, the judgment seat of Christ tells us that we are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to give an account for what we've done upon the earth. It's not going to be a judgment of whether we'll make heaven or hell necessarily if we're a believer, but it will be a judgment of what rewards we will get. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to enter in there and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Enter into the joy of the Lord. And over in same chapter, Luke 10, verse 19 says, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you." Wow. What a declaration to have spoken over you, that you have authority over the enemy, all the power of the enemy.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now, with that in mind, let's go now to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, where the scripture says that it is the Lord who gives us the ability. In fact, he says, "Remember, it is the Lord thy God that gives you the ability to get wealth." The ability to get wealth. In other words, he gives you an ability, an anointing to be able to create, some translations have it, to create wealth so that you can provide for the things that you need. But also, the rest of that scripture says, gives you the ability to create wealth so that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. Now, the purpose of wealth creation is to establish his covenant upon the earth. It's not so that we can live a life of bed of roses and so forth. It is to establish his covenant upon the earth. He declares that he gives us ability to create wealth. I believe there are things, there are ways of creating wealth that you and I have never thought of, that's in the heart of God that he wants to release to the body of Christ, and he is going to release it. Ways to create wealth. And really, when you look at the industries that are about in Canada today and all the resources that we have, they're gathering much of the wealth of the earth, but it's not really creating wealth. It's using what's already there. But the Bible talks about him giving us some witty inventions, some neat ideas of how to create wealth for mankind. But it is for a purpose. It is that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. He'll provide the resources necessary. The blessing of the Lord is to be used to establish his covenant. The blessing of the Lord. And we said the first blessing that was spoken over man was to go forth and to multiply. Go forth and to increase. That is a principle of the kingdom of God. In everything that comes into our hands, it is supposed to multiply. You know what? As somebody shows love toward you, that love in you is supposed to multiply. If love is in you, it is supposed to multiply. If God shows kindness and gifts that people might bring to you, he wants to multiply that. Therefore, he'll use you to multiply it in your life by you sowing seeds of giving, you sowing seeds of gifts and of acts of kindness that you give to one another and other people in the community. That's how you increase in the kingdom of God system. You sow and you reap. You sow and you reap. You sow and you reap. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was broke and needed money, my focus was always teaching around the money area. Why? Because that was my need. And I believe it cost me. I believe I was slowed down a little bit in my spiritual growth because I was focused on my need rather than focused on the Word of God, and which included every area of life. Because if we focus so much on a particular need, then we're not acting in faith, because God, Paul said in Philippians, he said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So he says, if we'll focus on him, our need will be met. If we focus on him, every desire that comes our way, we can count on that desire being given to us by God. And if he gives us the desire, he gives it to us so that we will believe him to fulfill that desire. Faith is always in the picture. It's always there.